Hi, and welcome to the Monday night conference call. This is Colleen, and we're just it's a few minutes away to 6 o'clock. We're expecting Wayne and Terry to come in, and I believe I didn't look at the email, but I believe he was going to talk about the about Terry and her incarnation as previous incarnations. So it would be really interesting. And so anyway, welcome. And yeah, it's 6:55, so we're a little bit early. I mean, 5:55, depending on where you are.
I'll talk to you about the rest of this stuff later, especially if you're going to be doing the greeting later on this evening and I'm around.
Sure. Yeah.
About steamship
stuff. Yeah, if I don't have to run off. But thank you for volunteering to do that. You do a great job, May. It's really, really wonderful that you're there helping me.
Well, only if I'm breathing.
Well, you are. You are.
Right. But when I don't have a lot of oxygen, I can't say much.
Well, that's okay. Maybe you're helped a lot along the way.
I'm hoping so. I haven't given up. And, you know, as long as positive thinking follows positive action. I mean,
exactly.
You know, praying does help, but praying with action is usually 99.999% successful.
Yes.
So
yeah.
It has to start somewhere.
Yep, it does. And it has to start with the feeling that you're going to be okay.
And well, then, as long as you understand that, you know, I mean, if you really understand that dying is just another transition. So, you know, I've still talked to a lot of people that believe, that do not believe in reincarnation, and this is the only life you have. And so if they fuck up the planet, they don't care because they're not coming back.
I know, but everyone has people that are here moving on, even if you don't believe in reincarnation. You have children and grandchildren, and, you know, nobody wants to see them in trouble.
They don't care.
Hi, good evening. Welcome to our Monday conference call. This
Hi,
is Colleen.
Colleen.
Would you like
Bonnie.
Hi, Bonnie. How are you doing?
Hi, everybody.
Hi, Bonnie.
Hi.
We were just talking about some of the people that don't believe in reincarnation that I have met that have kids, and they don't care if they mess up the planet, even if they have kids to leave it to, because they figure, well,
This is it, one shot.
But that's okay.
Sure.
I figure there's got to be a negative for the positive, right? So that's the negative for the positive. It's all one creation.
That's right, it is. Some people are afraid to admit that they believe otherwise, other than the mainstream.
Hi, good evening. Welcome to Whole Planet. Oh, my goodness, it's not Whole Planet Healing. This is our Monday night conference call. This is Colleen. Would you like to say your name and location?
Yeah, hi, Colleen. Hi. It's Dave.
Hi, Dave. Welcome.
California.
Jeannie in California. Hi. Welcome.
Hi.
So we're a few minutes away from 6 o'clock. Still. Hi. Welcome to the Monday night conference call.
Hi,
this
Colleen.
Is Colleen Prudence. Hi. Hi, Prudence. How are you doing?
How are your travels?
Thank you. How are you traveling?
Well, they got delayed a little.
Oh.
Slow going. Yeah.
Oh,
slow
okay.
Going.
Yep. Well, we're a few minutes away, but...
anybody else here?
Yes.
Oh, just us go.
Just a few people.
Hi, everyone.
Prudy, where were you traveling to? This is May from Concord.
Hi, May. Yes, I was going back up to Michigan.
Oh.
I live up there.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Where are you now?
In North Carolina.
Ah. Okay, so you don't have any cats or dogs that are starving at the house in Michigan.
No, no, that's why I'm able to travel, I think.
That's good.
Hi, good evening. Welcome to the Monday conference call. This is Colleen.
Hi,
Colleen.
Hi, Colleen. It's Michelle in Cambria. Sorry for interrupting you.
Hey, no problem. Hi, Michelle. Welcome.
Hi, Colleen.
I'm just seeing, I don't see... Did anyone get an email from Wynn tonight so far?
Oh, I'll check mine.
Okay. Good evening. Welcome to the Monday conference call. This is Colleen. Would you like to say your name and location?
Hi, this is Terry in Sedona.
Hi, Terry.
Hi.
How are you?
Hi, Terry.
So nice to hear you.
Terry got in before me. Oh, my God.
She
hey,
did.
Lynn.
I'm going to get my headset on.
I didn't get one, Colleen.
No, I didn't either. Good evening. Welcome to the Monday conference call. This is Colleen. Would you like to say your name and location?
This is Don in Northern Ohio. Hi, Colleen, everybody.
Hi. Welcome to the call.
Thanks.
No, I didn't get an email for tonight.
I sent one.
From when? You did? Oh.
Yeah,
oh, I didn't get it either.
Oh.
Yeah, but I just sent it 5 minutes ago.
Oh. Okay.
You know what? Sometimes I think I can stretch time.
So, good evening. Welcome to the Monday conference call. Would you like to say name and location?
It's Roger in Austin.
Hi, good evening, Roger.
Thank you.
Yeah, no, I still don't have it, but...
Yeah,
oh, well. It's lost in cyberspace or something. Good evening. Welcome to the Monday conference call.
Hi, it's Chris in Memphis.
Hi, good evening, Chris. Welcome.
Hey there, thanks.
Hey, Wynn. Hey, Wynn, are you there?
Calling Wynn. Are you there?
Wynn there.
Good evening. Welcome good evening. To the Monday conference call.
Hello,
this is
Colleen.
Terry
from Dallas.
Hi, Terry. Good evening.
Hi. Good evening.
Hello?
Hi.
Hi.
Who's that?
Hi. It's
Wynn. Hi, Wynn. Okay, so it's 6:05. I'll mute the things for you.
Okay, we can start. Thank you for greeting, Colleen.
All callers are muted and they can unmute themselves.
And Terry, you're there, right? Hello, Terry? Are you unmuted?
A moment ago.
Yeah, I'm here. Hi.
Were you muted?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, stay unmuted, okay?
Okay.
Because this is like a roast. Okay.
Oh,
a roast for St. Catherine.
All right.
So, hang on.
This conference is being recorded.
This is April 24th. 2017, Wynn and Terry in Sedona, everybody everywhere.
All callers are unmuted.
You know, I'm just curious. I just unmuted everybody. How many of you ever, I'm sure all of you have seen the pictures comparing Terry and St. Catherine. And how many of you ever looked up the history of St. Catherine?
I have.
Yeah.
How many of you haven't ever looked up the history of St. Catherine?
I haven't.
Nope. Oh, okay. All right. I just want to check.
All callers are muted and they can unmute themselves.
Well, a few days ago, I've looked it up different times. And, you know, in the sense that I know Terry so well, and I look at St. Catherine, and you would wonder, so why isn't Terry a Catholic this life, right? How does this work? Why is it one life she's married to Jesus, and this life she's doing something else? What is the, how is this work from a soul level? It's a fascinating question. And I've observed some other people, including David Wilcock and Edgar Cayce. And you know, people think you come back and you're just going to be the same person. And why is it your expression is different? And how can the soul be the same? And what are the indications that it's the same soul? Okay? And I have, like, looked at this, and I think I've got an answer, and I think you'll find it really fascinating. And it has to do partially on how the other side works. Keep in mind, when you have any kind of challenging situation, particularly at the highest levels, which I believe when we're connecting with the Ra group and the Elohim group, we are dealing with the highest levels up there. And at the lower levels, there's sources that just will talk through anyone. They really want to get attention. And they get energy from it. Sometimes they're negative and sometimes they're not. But they have personalities. The personality of the lifetime
breaking
that
up.
They had. I'm breaking up. Hello.
Like you're underwater.
Pardon? Sounds fine to me.
Sound fine to you? I think that's Dharmananda. Dharmananda, I think your phone's underwater.
It sounds like you're underwater.
Yeah. As long as I sound good to Colleen, then it's got to be on your end, okay? I mean, it's, you know.
Oh, I can hear her fine, but you're breaking up.
Well, okay. I'm going to hang
I'll
out.
Keep an ear out. I'll keep out for you.
We'll come back next week, okay? I don't know. I don't know what to do.
You aren't breaking up for me. I can hear you clearly.
You hear me clearly. All right.
Yeah.
Dharmananda, you're outvoted. All right. Okay.
No.
I'm sorry.
Sorry.
Sometimes
it doesn't.
Keep praying.
Don't worry about your phones.
All right. Okay. There's something weird about the universe down here, okay? So
okay.
I have, like, given up trying to think I can control it. Or, I mean, just within little bits of spectrums. You know, those of you that are on the calls regularly, I mean, I don't know about you, but I look at life and I start to see how everything ended up the way it is, okay? I do. And I look and I say, isn't it amazing that humans can cooperate as much as they do? And they build cities, and they have offices, and they make businesses up. And it's all like this big cacophonic thing. And then on top of it, you have all these control patterns. And then on top of that, you have these group souls that are trying to make themselves known to help. And the big thing is that they make configurations on their side to match a situation on this side. That was a big revelation for me when I asked through Terry, could we get information like Edgar Casey got information, you know, through the Rock Group. You know how clear and specific Edgar Casey was. And they said, well, they had made a special configuration to work through Edgar Casey, and that configuration wasn't present now. Now, I suppose they could make it again if it was important enough to make it again. But then, do I really want to be like Edgar Casey? You know, do I? I don't think so. It may not be the highest good to do that at this point, because I think what we're doing is perfect for the time we're in. One of the things about Edgar Casey is his high degree of precision and accuracy. And I came to the conclusion that if someone was as precise and accurate as Edgar Casey was in present time, they'd probably get taken over by the negative in, you know, a split moment. Because the negative would try to own them. If they couldn't own them, they'd put them out of commission. And if you look at David Wilcock, I'm not sure where he's at with all of that, okay? But nonetheless, you would have to figure that at the time of St. Catherine, it was 1,300 years after Jesus. And we've talked many times about Jesus, and that in our paradigm, it is a really good case for a very high degree of association between the Rod Group and Jesus. And no one else has come up with this besides me, all right? Carla Ruckert didn't. David Wilcock, and the thing that triggered me was the Wilcock channeling when he said, they said, through him, we came to you in our religion, namely Christianity, but we don't often speak in those terms anymore because of the way religion screwed it up. That's in the book. And that was my first hint. And I said, is this true? What are they saying, right? And then you go into 1300 AD, and there is this young woman who is channeling. And when I looked at that woman, when I heard about her and heard about all the things she did and how she did it, I would say to myself, if Terry was in that situation, would Terry do it in that way? Okay? Now, this has nothing to do with being a saint, because a saint is a man-made title. It's given by a church. And but she did things that fit the criteria of the church. So after she died, they sainted her, all right? And let me play this little 3-minute quick story of St. Catherine.
St. Catherine of Siena was born in Siena, Italy on March 25, 1347. At the age of 16, Catherine's sister died, leaving her husband as a widower. Her parents proposed that he marry Catherine as a replacement, but Catherine opposed this. She began fasting, and cut her hair short to mar her appearance. Her parents attempted to resist this move, but they were unsuccessful. Her fasting and devotion convinced them to relent and allow her to live as she pleased. Despite Catherine's piety, she did not choose to enter a convent, and instead she joined the Third Order of St. Dominic, which allowed her to associate with a religious society while living at home. St. Catherine developed a habit of giving things away, and she continually gave away her family's food and clothing to people in need. She never asked permission to give these things away, and she quietly put up with their criticisms. Something changed her when she was 21. She had an experience she described as her mystical marriage to Christ. In her vision, she was told to enter public life to help the poor and sick. She immediately went into public to help people in need. She often visited hospitals. Her activities quickly attracted followers who helped her in her mission to serve the poor and the sick. St. Catherine was given the stigmata, but it was visible only to herself. She took Blessed Raymond of Capua as her confessor and spiritual director. From 1375 onward, St. Catherine began dictating letters to scribes. She petitioned for peace and was instrumental in persuading the Pope in Avignon to return to Rome. She also established a monastery for women in 1377 outside of Siena. She is credited with composing over 400 letters, her dialogue, which is her definitive work, and her prayers. These works are so influential that St. Catherine would later be declared a doctor of the church. She is one of the most influential and popular saints in the church. St. Catherine died on April 29, 1380, following a prolonged period of illness and fasting. St. Catherine's feast day is April 29th. She is the patroness against fire, illness, the United States, Italy, miscarriages, people ridiculed for their faith, sexual temptation, and nurses. If you wish to learn more about St. Catherine of Siena, please visit Catholic.org. And if St. Catherine of Siena inspires you, visit CatholicShopping.com for her products.
You know, it reminds me, like, when I was really young, I'd give away the fruit from the fruit bowl to the neighbors and other kids and stuff. And I got in such big trouble for it in this life.
Well, you know, I remember when we would go out and sell something together at a show, right?
Yeah.
And I'm paying like $50 an hour to stand in a certain place, right?
I know. And yeah.
Terry would be there, and there would be these people gathered around the booth who were not going to buy anything. They were struggling, and she would be talking to them, and I would tear my hair out because, why isn't she selling?
Well, I get so upset he charged him $50 an hour for this book and you're just talking to people.
But she couldn't resist being kind to someone who was down and out, right? And in fact, there's part of her that's kind of an automatic pilot where if she doesn't do that in one shape or another, she doesn't have a purpose in this realm. And it's like she's been doing that one way or another all of her life. And it's fascinating to watch. Now, if you recall, there's so many little tidbits of things. Obviously, she might have chosen to incarnate in Siena, Italy. Okay, people do that. They come in with a plan to do something. And she was definitely channeling. And if you read her channelings, you know what? I got a page here where I have some excerpts from her channelings. I mixed the two up here. Okay, hang on. Let's see if I can find it. Hang on. Here we go. Now, some of these things are from her letters, and some of them are from her dialogue, St. Catherine's. Now, I would ordinarily leave it up to, like, well, maybe she was. It's up to you to decide, but I'm so sure. There's so many correlations. If you ever looked at the picture of St. Catherine, the comparison, I did two comparisons, actually four pictures. One where St. Catherine was kind of serious, and one where she was more joyous, and that I found pictures of Terry in both of those places. Okay? Okay, now who do I have to mute here? Who do I have to mute? Somebody's listening. There we go. Got rid of them. All right. So, and you know, have a go. Here we go. Here's some quotes from St. Catherine. Now, there's quotes from two things. There's quotes from her letters, which was obviously her conscious mind, and there were quotes from what's called the dialogues, where whoever was talking to her and through her was the quotes from that source. Now, at one point, I believe that they told me, and I'm sure you don't remember, Terry, do you remember who they said was talking through you? Hello, Terry. Are you there?
Well, the Magdalena Group.
The Magdalena Group. The first time I ever heard that name, the Magdalena Group, okay? So, you know, it's complex up there. They probably have groups that don't even have names for. But obviously Magdalena Group must have been connected to Mary Magdalene. And if you notice, it's so very, thank you. St. Catherine didn't eat. She would tend to, she ended up dying of starvation, as I recall. And why are we getting all that noise? Testing 1, 2, 1, 2. Are you on a speakerphone, Terry?
Yeah.
How come you're not on your headset?
Well, let me go find it.
Okay. All right. So, okay, now I think that's better. Their speaker off. So, you know, Terry has trouble eating. Sometimes she throws up. Sometimes she just has no appetite. And interestingly enough, okay, I'm going to mute her. Terry, are you there?
Yeah, I'll mute myself.
Yeah, okay, mute yourself, okay? But just be prepared to unmute, okay? So, she didn't eat, and she would fast. And everything that came through her had to be totally in the form of the Catholic Church, okay? Because that's who she was speaking into. So the one thing they did in many places of St. Catherine was they were actually trying to correct the corruption in the church that was happening at that time. The church was getting divided. Okay, I was going to read some quotes. You are rewarded not according to your work or your time, but according to the measure of your love. That's from the Dialogues, okay? Love transforms one into what one loves. That's from the Dialogue. We trust and believe in what we love. And the Eternal Father said, if anyone should ask me what this soul is, I would say, she is another me, made so by the union of love. And here's an excerpt from a letter. This is an interesting one. It's going to make you think. Sin is loving what God hates and hating what God loves. When God created man, he said to him, this is another one from a letter, be it done according to your will, that is, I make you free, subject only to myself. Here's another one from a letter. Love does not stay idle. And here is from the Dialogue. God was made man, and man was made God. Here's another one from a letter. Do not be satisfied with little things, because God wants great things. Here's another one. I am the fire, and you are the sparks. Here's from a letter. You are asking for something that would be harmful to your salvation if you had it. So by not getting what you've asked for, you really are getting what you want. Here's another one. Obedient people never trust in themselves. That's from the letter. Hope comes from love, because people always trust in those they love. Ungrateful people are not patient. And from another letter, it is human to sin, but diabolic to persist in sin. There is nothing we can desire or want that we do not find in God. That's from a letter. And here's from the Dialogue. For you, high eternal Father, loved me without being. You, God, made yourself lowly and small to make us great. That's from the Dialogue. For the light of understanding within your light, I have tasted and seen your depths. Eternal Trinity, and the beauty of your creation. It is only through shadows that one comes to know the light. Okay, well, you get the idea. Jerry, how come you didn't remind me of those things 20 years ago?
What were we doing 20 years ago?
Standing on the street chasing bald people. In any case, one of the things about St. Catherine is she had a lot of support. She would go in and come up with these dialogues and the people around her were blown away by it. And there was a church behind her, and the church was paying the bills, and probably, you know, paying her bills, giving her a stipend, or she was staying with her parents. And, you know, another really interesting thing that came forward in this lifetime about St. Catherine was at a certain point, the church, the central body or the Pope, had heard about this bizarre woman that was bringing through all these messages. And they sent someone down to evaluate her to make sure it wasn't demonic, because channeling is not something the church really reinforces. But I discovered this because a few years ago, I was thinking, maybe I knew Terry in that lifetime. Maybe I was a minister. Maybe I was holding the space for her to channel. And at that time, we had this fellow who was staying at our house. Maybe he's listening on the line now. And he still can't integrate this as being true, although I'm sure it's true. It was a jilted boyfriend of Daphne, and that he was really in a bad place. So he came to Sedona, ended up staying at our house, and we couldn't get rid of him. And he kept cooking dinners for Terry and making sure Terry was okay. And what happened, going back to Catherine and the church sending this fellow, his name was Raymond. And Raymond not only gave a good report back to the church about Catherine, but got very endeared with Catherine and would be her, they mentioned him in that audio, be her confessor and be her companion and take care of her. And so he was probably cooking dinner for her. And we have this guy in our house who insists on doting over Terry. He's not living here now, but he's still working with us at his gym. And I looked up Raymond, and I found his picture. And Jim has a remarkable resemblance to Raymond. And I'm sure he was Raymond, and I think Terry is sure he was Raymond after she studied it all. And, you know, what's very interesting is when Catherine died, Raymond wrote her biography, and he became sainted himself as a result of that by the church. And it's just fascinating, you know, because in this lifetime, Jim, I don't think has had any major religious or spiritual pursuits. And he's a very talented guy. He happens to be a good writer. Okay? He was writing short stories when he was here. And he was good. And we played his music yesterday. He's a really talented piano player. And he's also a chef and had his own restaurant. And when he was here and just doting all over Terry, I couldn't figure it out. I said, maybe he must be doing this because he's afraid we're going to throw him out or something. But then I recognized the deep affinity that was real. It was authentic between Terry and Jim. And, you know, at one point, Raymond got the plague, and Catherine stayed by his bed, praying for him until he healed. And Terry, why don't you give your perspective on this?
Well, I remember when I've been seeing Catherine, and I remember when a lot of people got the plague, and I'd get up in the morning and I'd say, oh man, I don't want to go see all those people because they got the plague and I'm going to get the plague. And then I'd really be strict with myself, you know, where's my faith? Why don't I have faith? How come I'm afraid of this? Because if I have the faith, I'll be able to go out and meet the people and take care of me even if they got the plague. So I'd steal myself up and I'd go out and I'd meet with all those people with the plague and pray with them. And so the same was true with Raymond. I'd just go sit next to his bed and pray for him. And I never did get the plague.
All right. So I have another thing I wanted to play, just some excerpts of. And there was a fellow by the name of Thomas McDermott, and he is a Catholic scholar who got very much intrigued with a St. Catherine. And I might jump around because I didn't edit this to the parts I want to play, but I want to get the feel of how people in the Catholic Church, and this guy happens to be very, very smart. He's put up a whole web page with all kinds of links in it to St. Catherine, and here he goes.
Welcome once again to EWTN's Bookmark. I'm Doug Keck, your host. Our guest author is Father Thomas McDermott, author of Catherine of Siena, Spiritual Development in Her Life and Teaching, published by Paulus Press. Welcome, Father, to EWTN's
Thank you, Doug.
Bookmark.
Nice to be here.
Our audience may remember seeing you back about 6 months or so, back in the spring when you were actually on with Father Mitch, and you were on a special day. What day was that?
That was the eve of the feast day of St. Catherine of Siena, which is on April the 29th.
Right, and you also were at Mass that day as well.
Right, on the 28th.
Actually, on the feast day itself. Now, you're a Dominican, Catherine of Siena. Some of our EWTN viewers would know we did a series a number of years ago on Catherine of Siena that we actually still offer through our religious catalog that Father Jacques Daly did. Now, Jacques Daly's not a Dominican.
Mm-hmm.
You're Dominican. She's a Dominican, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And why is that an important connection? And why is she important to the Dominican?
Well, St. Catherine of Siena, in so many ways, was the epitome of what the Dominican Order stands for. And it's paradoxical, because normally Dominicans are associated with education and with being above average in intelligence, if I may say so myself. St. Catherine was very intelligent. That part wasn't paradoxical. But she was illiterate. She didn't know how to read or write. Now, possibly towards the end of her life, she developed some, or was given some ability to do that by the Lord, but for most of her life she was an illiterate, and that makes her, I believe, the only illiterate doctor of the Church. Now, that's not to say she wasn't intelligent. She
right,
was highly,
right, exactly.
highly intelligent.
Well, she was born in, what, 1347, so in that period of time it probably wouldn't have been unusual
not
for
unusual
many women
at all.
To,
no.
If not other people in general, to have not been that well.
Right.
Versed,
she was,
right?
She was a person of the people. She wasn't born of the nobility, and ordinary women in those days did not receive that kind of education. So there was nothing unusual about that.
Now, you know, I know when we first did our series on Catherine of Siena, and I really didn't know that much about her, and I have to say I know more from reading your book. You look at her, and she looks like a religious sister, but she wasn't, right?
She wasn't really, no. She was, in Europe at that time, there was a movement which has since been called the movement of penitential women, women who associated themselves with the major religious orders of the day and lived a kind of modified spirituality for lay people and dressed in modified religious habits. In the case of Catherine of Siena, and these groups developed into, some of them into what we call today third orders. And Catherine associated herself with a group of widows, although she wasn't one, she was very young at the time, at the Dominican church in Siena, which was just up the hill from her house.
Right. But she had taken a vow of virginity, right? She was never going to get married.
As a little girl, she was very young, I think 6 or 7 even.
Oh, okay.
She took a private vow of virginity, which she didn't tell anybody about. But later she received a modified Dominican habit. And so she was officially associated with the Dominican order, but she was not a nun.
Right.
And she did not live in a convent. She had nothing against that. Actually, the only religious vocation open to women in those days was to be a cloistered contemplative nun. Catherine had nothing against that vocation. She sent many young women to the cloister, and she herself started a Dominican monastery of nuns right outside of Siena at a certain point. The ruins of it are still there, but that wasn't her vocation.
Right, okay. So she had what we'd say as an active order today.
That's right.
Okay. Now, and as you correctly indicated, she was about 7 when she made that vow. Mm-hmm. I guess it was later on maybe she made a public announcement because she had some concern that her parents were trying to marry her off, right?
Right, right.
Okay. But also, she was 6 years old when she had her first vision.
Mm-hmm. Right. She was coming home from her sister's house. She was a little girl, like you said, 6 or 7 years old. Her older brother, by just a couple of years, was ahead of her on this path. They were coming down the hill towards their house. The path is still there. It's marked where she had this religious experience. And she saw this beautiful image of Christ dressed in papal vestments with a tiara above the Dominican church. And there was no message. There was no locution, as we would say, but it was an extremely profound religious experience for the child. And whatever it was beautiful for her. I mean, she found it very, very attractive. And it's interesting, later on in her teachings about God, she refers to him so often as supreme beauty. Mm-hmm. And, you know, being a person from medieval Siena, she probably was very sensitive to beauty. And she saw God and frequently called him supreme beauty.
Right. And you write in the book here about her vision. Within it was the Savior of the world, our Lord Jesus Christ, seated on a lordly throne, clothed in pontifical vestments and wearing on his head a tiara, the regal mitre of the Pope. With him were the princes of the apostles, Peter and Paul, and blessed John the Evangelist. So
mm-hmm.
That's kind of the image. Now, what's interesting with this book, and I guess to be clear with everybody, this isn't a biography in the sense of
going through
the life and adventures mm-hmm. of St. Catherine of mm-hmm. Siena. This is really more focused on her spiritual journey.
That's right, her spiritual journey and her spiritual teaching. And that's what I think makes the book unusual, mm-hmm. is that she is a doctor of the church, but if you ask many people, what is her doctrine, what is her spiritual teaching, probably they're not going to be able to tell you. And that's because not much has been written on it. Very, very few people, practically no one that I know of in English, has attempted to look at the whole of her teaching, which would involve reading the book that Catherine wrote through dictation called The Dialogue of St. Catherine of Siena, and her 381 letters, which are all quite lengthy. All of them have recently been translated into English. And then we have 26 prayers of her that were taken down by secretaries when she was in a mystical state. You have to look at all of those writings to be able to arrive at some clarity as to what she was talking about. But actually, it's very simple, her doctrine, and it's very rich. And I want to get the word out there that it's a fascinating teaching that St. Catherine had. And here she was a fascinating personality, a beautiful personality. John Paul II referred to her as one of the great examples in history of grace building on nature, St. Thomas Aquinas' aphorism, beautiful aphorism, very Catholic, grace builds on nature, that grace took nothing whatsoever away from St. Catherine that was of value, but it, in a sense, enriched her humanity and made her to be the beautiful, attractive personality that she was to others.
Mm-hmm. Said in the foreword that was written by a father, you can pronounce it.
Wojciech Giertych.
Okay, thank you, Father. Pronouncing. He says, the gifts of the Holy Spirit enlighten her soul, would inspire her to speak about the Christian life and renewal of the church. And he talks about the eye of intellect and goes on to say, the colorful images that Catherine used in rapid succession to explain the mysteries of faith without great concern for their inner coherence can be baffling.
Uh-huh.
And you say, have often been perplexed, people have been, by the confusion and inconsistencies of her imagery, and says, there's a mistaken expectation, in a sense, that there's a theological system to be found. So on one level, in reading through the book, you get this idea that it's fairly accessible for people because she doesn't, it's not heavy, it are these images and analogies that she uses, but at the same time, he's saying it's disconcerting. How do you put those two together?
Well, that's a very good point, and I'm glad you mentioned that. Father Wojciech Giertych, incidentally, is the papal theologian for the pontiff. St. Catherine of Siena was not, strictly speaking, a theologian. She was a mystic. And by mystic, I mean someone who had personally encountered the Lord. And all of the truths of the faith, to her, were transformative. There was no such thing as neutral revelation. So she meditated deeply and assimilated these truths into her own life. And then, because she was a member of the Order of Preachers, she felt greatly compelled to disseminate this, to make the good news known to other people. And she was always groping for new and better images in order to explain the truth. For example, the incarnation, when God became man. One of the images that she used that people would have understood very well back then is that God is like a housewife who kneads his divinity, like he's kneading dough to make bread.
Like kneading something, but actually physically.
Yeah, K-N-E-A-D, kneads his divinity into the dough of our humanity. Well, that's what Italian women would do back then. They would knead dough, pasta, to make what we call pasta today. She had many different images for the soul. And so, you know, if you have a kind of Germanic mindset, which many of us Americans and others do, you know, you want to make connections, you want clear definitions, but the definitions keep shifting. But it's not really difficult. And I think the advantage of my book here is it's kind of a simple roadmap through a lot of her terminology.
Right. Another one I noticed was the steps leading across the bridge that is Christ.
That's a very important part of her teaching, Doug. In the dialogue, incidentally, is Catherine asks four questions of the Lord, and the Lord answers. And the answers are the book. And she entrusted the book. It came into existence about 3 years before the end of her life.
And the book meaning the dialogue.
The dialogue of St. Catherine of Siena.
Because she called it the book, right?
And she entrusted it to her friend and her confessor, Blessed Raymond of Capua, who went on to become the Master General of the Dominican Order. But in this beautiful book, which is really a compendium of her mature spiritual thought, the central portion of it, and the one that really got my attention when I first read it several years ago, is the teaching on the bridge of Christ crucified, where the Eternal Father, God the Father, says to Catherine that he made of his Son a bridge stretching from heaven to earth so that man and God could meet again. And Catherine embellished this idea of the bridge, saying that it was the crucified Christ, and that the first stop on the bridge was at the feet of Christ, and then the open side of Christ, where we could look in and see the secret of the heart, and then finally to the lips of Christ, where we experience the kiss of peace. And it becomes quite an involved teaching, but a very practical teaching, too. And she says, you know, at the feet of Christ, we don't really love God yet. We're there because we're afraid. We're going to God because we're afraid. What are we afraid of? We're afraid of his punishments. We need to go higher. And she says that emanating from the top of this bridge, from the head of Christ, is love. And the inspiration for that was Christ's own words, that when I am lifted up, I will draw all things to myself. So the draw of love, the heart is drawn by love, she says. And if you respond to that love with more knowledge and more love, then you'll ascend higher to the secret of the heart, to the open wound of Christ, and you'll be transformed gradually into a mercenary servant, a person who does the right thing as far as God is concerned, but actually loves God's gifts and ultimately
hence
loves himself.
Yeah. There's a payment there.
Right, and doesn't really love God yet, but he's meant to continue to respond to the call of love and to become a friend and eventually a child of God who just loves God for their own sake. So one of Catherine's repeated teachings, and this is very Dominican, is that love follows knowledge. That when you know God, you're going to love him automatically, and more correct or true knowledge results in more love. But also, conversely, defective knowledge results in defective love, not only of God, but also of yourself and of others. One of the mottos, the chief motto of the Dominican Order is that of truth, veritas, and she hammers away at this concept of truth, getting to know the truth about ourselves and the truth about God. Those are the two most important things we should know in life.
Today, do you think that's a big problem we have, is this kind of lack of understanding of truth or a defective understanding of truth, which causes us some problems in,
very much so,
in knowing God and loving God the way we should?
Very much. You know, our culture is in many ways, I think, tinged by nihilism. We despair of truth, of the existence of truth. It's not a matter of not finding it. It's a matter of it not existing in the first place. Everything is relative. And because we don't know the fundamental truth about ourselves, that we are made in the image and the likeness of God, but that we are wounded, not entirely corrupted, by sin, that our knowledge of the truth is darkened. Catherine says, though in baptism we receive a kind of torch, and the torch illumines things so that we can see more of the truth, but of course it's only in the next life, in eternity, that we'll have actual pure vision of it.
Now, Catherine gives out these images, but did she... Let's bring Terry back. Are you there, Terry? Calling Terry.
Can you hear me?
I hear you now.
Okay.
Now, how did you react to that, if you want to share?
I find it very interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Catherine was pretty deep, huh?
Right. Well,
to say...
All that time meditating and praying.
But you're pretty deep, too. I mean, you're really deep.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have 2 or 3 minutes left, and I don't think we have time. Maybe we'll do it on Wednesday, but bring our sources in and have them ask them a couple questions. If we have time, we don't get enough questions. On Wednesday, ask them a couple questions about Catherine, you know?
Right.
And let me see here. Anyone wants to make a comment or a question? Now remember, Terry is Terry this life. She's not Catherine. And her whole set of circumstances in that life supported her doing this. And then there was a group on the other side that supported it from the other side. In other words, Terry had lifetimes since Catherine, I'm sure quite a few, that some of them were bad lovers that knifed her, okay? or sometime we'll talk about it, but it's interesting how someone could have been a saint, and their level of experience in this realm is still continuing. And the next life, they're going through a different experience. It's the same soul.
When I came in to this, their density, I asked that I'd be given the experiences so I could understand this realm and what happened to people here. So I went through all different kinds of
experience.
Right. Okay, I'm going to unmute people.
All callers are unmuted.
There's something very I Ching about it.
Something I Ching about it?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. In the like the background, sort of.
It's like the superior man.
Hey, Wynn?
Yeah.
Was Father McDermott connected to St. Catherine in his past life?
How am I supposed to know?
Well, because he seems so interested.
Well, I wouldn't be a bit surprised, because oftentimes when people have... I'm actually considering calling him up. And,
calling him up, yeah.
You should, and sell him some wands.
I'm not going to sell him some wands. What are you going to do? Walk around this is diocese and sell wands? I mean, he would... Obviously, he could never publicly acknowledge any of our work or talk about it. I mean, he's got a job. Like when the church saints somebody, they look at everything they say to make sure that there's nothing they say that's contrary to the church. Okay, that's part of what they do. Anyone else want to say something or comment? Did you guys find that fascinating?
Very, very.
Yes.
Yeah.
Extremely.
I mean, to me, on an intuitive level, since we all know Terry so well, and as much as you can know her, because there is something mystical about her that's unknowable, okay? And as much as we know her, and to hear the story of St. Catherine and integrate how Terry's soul could have been St. Catherine's soul. And just for the record, when it was indicated that she was St. Catherine, that came through a channeling from Daphne, not Terry. Okay? And they just brought it up out of the clear blue air.